Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. This time, our very special WrestleMania 1 review, WrestleMania 2, or WrestleMania Part 1 review, WrestleMania Part 2 preview. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing WrestleMania, both what happened last night and what will happen tonight on this very special two-night edition of WrestleMania, which could, I'm told, become a regular feature of WrestleMania, and I would not be against that. I actually think it's a really good idea. I think they should keep the two-night format. It works out better in the long run. First thing I want to say is that what I'm about to say is just my opinion. It's not going to reflect the opinion of anybody on the panel or anybody in the chat rooms, anybody who listens to the show. I understand. Because it's going to be pretty controversial, but I think it's something that actually needs to be said. Second thing, to applaud the fans who went there last night. They did a tremendous job. And it was good to see people out and having fun, not panicking, not fearful, not hiding behind, a plexiglass, whatever, to try to survive. Really good to see that. And it was really good to see the WWE acknowledge that in the beginning. Because everything Vince McMahon said was 100% true. Boy, have they missed the fans. And if you couldn't tell by the rest of their faces when they came out and saw real people in the audience, then I don't know what to tell you, because it was obvious on just about every single one of their faces. Now let's get to the controversial part. Regardless of how big a feel-good moment it was, regardless to how historic it supposedly is, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair did not deserve the main event last night. And as a matter of fact, it detracted from WrestleMania greatly. And here's why. The minute it was announced that Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley were indeed going to be the opening match, then smart wrestling fans clearly understood that Drew McIntyre was not winning the belt. Drew McIntyre was not winning the belt. You already knew it. Why, do you ask, did you know it? Because they're not going to start WrestleMania off that way. If Drew McIntyre was going to win the belt, that would have been a big, huge moment. They would have wanted that to be the close of the show with all the pomp and circumstance. They didn't want that to be the beginning. And it would have robbed what happened later of its significance with Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. So I already knew. Drew McIntyre's either getting screwed out of this belt somehow or he's just not winning it. And I was right. Second reason they didn't deserve it. The feud did not merit it. Has nothing to do with the athletic ability of either woman. Has nothing to do with how hard they worked. It has nothing to do with how good the match was. It has to do with the WWE did not promote this feud in a way that you would say this is the main event of WrestleMania. They just didn't. Third thing I want to say is that the reason they did this is disingenuous. And by that, I mean they would not have done this if this was Sasha Banks versus Bayley or Becky Lynch. They did it because they wanted to virtue signal. They said, we have an opportunity here. We can promote this as the first WrestleMania main event that featured two women of African-American descent, two black women, where we can't let this go by. We can't let this opportunity go by. I don't care if no one cares who wins. I don't care if it was a lousy feud. We don't care about anything. We care about making ourselves look good by virtue signal. and making sure that Michael Cole announces this is the first time two black women have ever main evented WrestleMania. You're the one that's keeping racism alive. These are two women. The color of their skin is irrelevant. You're the one who's making it relevant. If Asuka was to fight Io Shirai, would you say, this is the first time two women of Asian descent have main evented WrestleMania? No, you wouldn't have. You wouldn't have said a word. You took the chance and you ran with it because you knew it was a virtue signaling thing, and everyone would say, how wonderful and progressive this is. And it doesn't matter that they didn't earn it. So you're the ones who were condescending. You see, if you want equal rights, equal does mean equal. It doesn't mean special. The minute it means special, you're actually the racists. And it's just as simple as that. I'm sorry that that's the way I feel. If for some reason you wanted to give the New Day and the Hurt Business, or the former Hurt Business, the main event at WrestleMania, because, well, it's the first time that two black teams wrestlers have main evented WrestleMania, we know it's not a big feud. I would have been against that, too. You see, you're giving them a special right that they didn't deserve. And when you give somebody a special right based only upon their skin color, whether that person be white or black, you, in fact, are the definition of a racist. So you were the one who was bringing their skin color into this. I am honestly going to tell you from the bottom of my heart, I didn't even consider that really at first until it was brought up. I was like, okay, Sasha's fighting Bianca Belair. That should be decent. And okay, they didn't do a good job with the feud or building it up, and both women sort of were unsympathetic characters until last night anyway. But okay, and I never really dawned on me, wait a minute, they're two black women. That did not cross my mind. It obviously crossed your mind, which means race and skin color dominate your thought process. That's not a good thing. That's the definition of racism. Now, perhaps both of these women say, we deserve this. We worked hard. Yeah, I'm sure you did work hard. You don't think Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley worked hard? And this is an epic moment because why? Because you're a woman. I thought you wanted to be treated equally. If you stood outside the Raymond James Stadium and said to every fan that was in there, what match did you come to see? Just one. Just one. I promise you, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair would not have made first, second, or probably third. The reason it was given to them? A, they're both women. B, they're both black. And that is the definition of racism. I am against it. It is special treatment. I do not want special treatment. You should not want special treatment. You should not want special treatment. Let's say the situation was reversed and there's mostly a women's wrestling league. And they're going to have a few men in it because they want to be progressive. And their top belt in that federation is being defended. And I'm a man and I'm in a match for a belt too. But because I'm white and because I'm a man, they say, well, you can have the main event. Because we want a virtue signal that we're not just about women. I'd say, well, no. That's wrong. You're giving me special treatment because of my gender or my skin color. I don't want that. That's pandering. That's called pandering. That's not called equal treatment. That's called pandering. Now, as it turns out, they had a fantastic match. And as it turns out, Bianca Belair became a very sympathetic character because she could not control her emotions. And was crying in the ring, which I'm going to be very honest with you, is a touching moment. It's also unprofessional. But at least it made her a sympathetic character, which she desperately needed. And they put on a good match. And it was a feel-good moment. But that was a feel-good moment that the WWE planned on only because they wanted a virtue signal. And in doing so, I think they ruined WrestleMania because, again, I don't know anyone who was a really hardcore super fan who didn't say, wait a minute. If the women are going on last, you know there's going to be a belt change because they want that big WrestleMania moment. They want to end that show with a big bang, and it ain't going to be Sasha retaining. That's not a big bang. So Bianca must be winning. And if Bianca's winning and Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley are going first, Drew's not going to win because that would be the big go-home moment, right? So you spoiled that for fans who think. And because fans were so into the Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre match, oh, by the way, I should say, here was the justification. Drew and Bobby are going to get the ultimate pleasure of being the first people to come out in front of a live crowd. Not true. The whole entire Federation came out for a thank you for coming. And then Hulk Hogan and Titus O'Neil came out and did their stuff. They all got the pops from the crowd before Drew McIntyre or Bobby Lashley. So, I'm sorry. That's not much of a caveat. That's not much of a, you know, throw them a carrot, please. That's called an excuse. That's what that's called. It's called an excuse. So I'm very disappointed with that. I didn't think the WWE buckled to virtue signaling, but they did. You're going to tell me that you couldn't have had this match two matches before Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley closed the show? See, because if Sasha and Bianca went fifth, I would have said, well, maybe Sasha's retaining. It's possible. And it would have threw me off. And if Lashley and McIntyre were going last, I'd have said, well, there's no doubt McIntyre's got to be winning this. And if he didn't, it would be like, whoa. But here's the deal. WWE knew Bobby Lashley retaining wouldn't be a wow WrestleMania moment. It would be a downer. Oh, Bobby Lashley retained after all. But I think they miscalculated that. I think that could have been a weird WrestleMania. It wouldn't have been a touching WrestleMania moment, but it would have been a whoa WrestleMania moment. So here you had a mess, didn't you? You had a mess because you had the virtue signal. You had a mess because you had to preach to the world, we're WWE and we're so progressive. Can't you see right in front of your eyes we're putting the first two black women ever in the main event of WrestleMania? Aren't we progressive? Aren't we wonderful? I don't think so. I think it's virtue signaling. Now, you can beat me up all you want and say it's ridiculous. It was a great match. It was a good match. It was a touching moment. I'm not taking that away, but you didn't know it was going to be a good match. WWE wasn't sure. They could have done all kinds of effed up things and ruined it. I'm sure Bianca Belair didn't know she was going to break down and cry in the ring before the match. These are things that saved the match, that saved that decision. But when they made the decision, they didn't know those things. So they went into it saying, doesn't matter. We want the end to be Bianca Belair holding up the belt and Michael Cole proudly announcing, this is the first main event with two black women in it. Aren't we wonderful? How come you had to mention the word black? If you really want racism to end, you have to stop announcing. I've never heard this before. This is the first time two Asian people, first time two black people, first time two Irish people. I've never heard that. It only happens when you're black. Why do you keep bringing up the color of their skin? Why does it matter? They're two gifted athletes who busted their ass, and now they're in the ring at WrestleMania, and that's a very good thing. Their skin color has nothing to do with it. They could be green. It doesn't matter. It only matters to you. And that is what bothered me the most last night. Again, I know my opinion's not popular, Mike, but that's truly what I feel.
Well, I mean, look, I agree with you. If they wouldn't have mentioned, oh, the two black women, you know, in which we could tell that by looking at the two, this is a main event match, okay, and it was played that way, and two women, actually the two women did a hell of a job in making it that way, all right, but if they would have just shut their mouth and let the action stand on its merits, this was the first main event by two black women. We knew that. We could tell that just by looking at it. And then the reaction of that was a priceless reaction from that was almost as good as the reaction with Bayley and Sasha at the end of that takeover match. You know?
Yes. I just, you know, so, again, yeah. It just left my mouth, and I also think it gave away the ending to Drew McIntyre and Lashley, because I knew they weren't going to have a big moment right at the beginning then if that was the case. And it gave away Sasha and Bianca, because they're not ending WrestleMania night one with Sasha Banks winning, holding up the belt. It's not a big enough moment. So you basically gave me the answers to who was winning the two main matches that you had, the two title main matches that you had. You couldn't have made it any more obvious if you wrote it on the screen. So that's my problem with that. I know that's controversial, but that's the way I think. You know, folks, we're never going to end racism in this country until we stop saying, a black man was shot today, or a black man saved a baby from drowning today. How about we just say a man or a woman? I don't understand why the color of your skin is so vitally important to people. I've never done that in my life. If I'm talking about my friends, I don't say, my black friend so-and-so, and my Asian friend so-and-so, and my lesbian friend so-and-so. I don't say that. I don't know anybody who says that. They're just my friend. So it left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. Anyway, let's get to the actual event. First off, here comes the thunderstorm. It's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. The first time they get fans back in the crowd and the fans have to run for cover because lightning's coming. Now, the rule, I think, is this happened to me at a concert once. The rule is if there's any kind of lightning 10 or 15 even miles away, at least in this state, my state, New York, I don't know about Florida, you have to have the crowd seek shelter. It's a rule. And you have to wait like a half hour. And then if there's no signs of lightning or bad winds or whatever, then that's fine. Here's the good news about that. The wrestlers literally had to fill in that time. There was no way their promos could have been scripted. There was no time to script their promos. That means you handed wrestlers a microphone and said, just go out there and talk. And guess what? Most of them did a better job than when you scripted it. Some of those promos were really good and interesting and fun. And I'm saying to myself, hello? Maybe you should take a message from this WWE and you should say, okay, we have a few points we want you to mention that you need to mention. But aside from mentioning these points, go out there and do your own promo. We don't have to write it for you like you're a third grader in a school play. Go out there and do what you do, at least to some of them. You handed some of them the mic, and like I said, they were better. So, Todd, maybe it's time they stop doing that and just let some of these guys, especially the ones who can do it, go ahead and do it.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when they had that rainstorm last night down in Tampa, Florida, that thunderstorm, some of the WWE superstars were like speaking from the heart during their promos without no script or anything.
Was much, much, much better, Mike. I mean, some of these guys were very entertaining. That 30 minutes went by pretty quick.
Right. And what have I always said about people like Bray Wyatt? You know, all Bray Wyatt needs is you give him a couple points here and there. You tell him to hit him. He can say whatever else he wants to say. Just hit these points. A lot of those guys that did those interviews almost the same way. All you got to do is give those guys the points to hit and say hit them. You can say whatever else in addition to this, but just hit these points and you're good to go. And it appears that, I mean, not exactly what happened, but close to it, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I thought they did an excellent job. I actually enjoyed. Maybe they should just cut the pre-show out, because I did not enjoy the pre-show. Maybe the pre-show should just be that. Maybe the pre-show should just be some interviews with the people who are actually going to wrestle. It seemed to go by quicker and it was much, much more fun. Anyway, Hulk Hogan and Titus O'Neil come out. Now, I'm not a mind reader, and I don't pretend to be, but Titus O'Neil looked about as thrilled to be standing there next to Hulk Hogan as I would be a porcupine or a skunk. He did his job. He didn't look thrilled. Hogan looked a little bit offset. There were some boos. Not a lot, but some. So I'm going to get on my soapbox here and preach for a moment. There are a lot of people in the wrestling world right now who are very, 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 very down on Hulk Hogan, including wrestlers, for saying what he said. And what he said was ridiculous and wrong. But they're going to give a pass to people, okay? I think I told on this show that at one point in time, I personally drove New Jack to Long Island, Deer Park, Long Island, from upstate New York. Long drive. To go to a show after he had done a show up here. And he had wanted to stay up here the night because he did not want to drive back down with a person who I will not mention, but someone he was scheduled to drive with in the car. And he decided on that he did not want to do it. And he said, I'd rather come up here. We actually ended up having dinner at a restaurant, went to a nightclub, which he did not like, and we left right away. And he ended up just crashing in a hotel. Picked him up early in the morning, and we went. During that ride, he told me a lot of stories. And he flat out told me, because I mentioned the time that up in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, when ECW used to wrestle up there, that there was a very racist group of people chanting the N-word. And Too Cold Scorpio got very upset. A couple other people got very upset. New Jack flat out attacked them. He just flat out jumped into the audience and started wailing them. Rightfully so. So I said, you know, and he was mentioning Brian Pillman, who had came out and said the N-word. And he said, I was going to go out and kill Brian Pillman that night. Paul talked me out of it. And I said, well, you know, though, you didn't really think he was racist, though. He was doing that to just get you mad. He said, no, I know he was. I know he was. But he said, at least he could have cleared it with me. At least he could have said, Jack, I'm going to go out there and use the N-word to really raise this up. And I would have said, go ahead. But the fact he did it like that pissed me off. Once I calmed down, I was fine. So I asked him about that in wrestling, and he told me Jim Cornette one time did the same exact thing. He said, but Jim Cornette meant it. Jim Cornette wasn't trying to get any heat. He said Jim Cornette, and I believe it was Smoky Mountain, called someone who was working there, not a wrestler, but someone who was working the stands or security or the door or something, the N-word. And New Jack said, now, Jim Cornette was a friend of mine. I said, well, what does that make me? Does that make me the N-word? Does that make Mustafa the N-word? He said, no. No, I lost my temper, you know, I just said it. And they're still friends. They're still friends. He said he loves Jim Cornette. And the wrestling fans, all you wrestling fans seem to love Jim Cornette. Well, Jim Cornette said it. So if you're gonna damn Hulk Hogan to the pits of hell, then you got to damn Jim Cornette to the pits of hell. See, because it doesn't work only one way. So I do think Hulk Hogan might be getting a little bit of a bad rap here. He did the same thing. He apologized, just like Jim Cornette did. You don't want to forgive him, don't forgive him. But at the end of the day, if you don't believe a person can make a mistake, then I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, did Lashley and Jim Cornette put on Jim Cornette? Did Lashley and Drew McIntyre put on a good match? Yeah, a pretty good match. A pretty good match. My overall thoughts on it, it was ruined for me because I knew the outcome. I did not think it was going to be a legit outcome. I thought there was going to be some heavy shenanigans somewhere. Initially, I thought we would get the Hurt Business down there and maybe help Drew, and Drew would win if he was going to win. But then I started thinking, well, he's not going to win if Sasha and Bianca are the main event, because Bianca will win. So how's Drew going to lose? And I thought, maybe they'll do what I said. Maybe the Hurt Business will come down here anyway, even though they're banned from ringside. And it'll make it look like they're going to go after Lashley, but no, they go after Drew somehow and distract him. None of it happened. It was just Drew gets put into the full Nelson, and he passes out. Okay, well, then we're pretty much sure what's coming at probably SummerSlam, and that would be Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. Pretty sure that's coming. I don't know anybody else is going up against. Who's going up against Lashley at this point? Drew will have another couple of matches with him, probably won't win any, win them. So who then? I can't think of anybody. So you sort of know that's coming. For the feud that they had developed between these two, I think it was a good match, but I don't think it was a great match. And I think the ending is going to be unsatisfactory to some people, even if you wanted Bobby Lashley to win, because in the end, at the end of the day, even though MVP supposedly distracted Drew McIntyre, he did win clean. And if you wanted to keep the I am a heel persona going, I think you would have had to have worse than that. I think you would have had to have MVP like flat out trip Drew McIntyre or something. Not just shout, because that's Drew McIntyre's fault. If he's distracted by a shout, that's Drew McIntyre's fault. If he's distracted because his heel got hooked or something, well, then that's MVP's fault. So I would have booked it a little bit differently to make Lashley look. And here's the other thing. If you're going to have Lashley win anyway, why'd you break up the Hurt Business? I thought the whole idea of breaking up the Hurt Business is we must have Lashley booed so that Drew McIntyre can have his big face moment of holding up that belt when he wins it. That's what everybody was told. If you're going to go ahead and let him win anyway, what the bloody hell difference did it make if you kept the Hurt Business together? So I was okay with this match, Mike, but, you know, I wasn't thrilled.
Right. And look, some of the spots in the match were very good spots as well. I mean, I wasn't thrilled. I mean, look, we know where this is going, right? You've said where this is going, and rightfully so, because that is a money match, you know. Lesnar and Lashley is a money match, you know, and especially if they find a way to get Lesnar back with Paul Heyman. You know, you've got Paul Heyman, who's a great talker, and MVP, who's a great talker. That's some priceless promos right there. So, yeah, we knew that where that was going. And I did like the Boca did very well. I knew that when he hit those three Future Shock DDTs and Lashley kicked out of them all, I knew Lashley was winning, because that's a, generally speaking, that is a finishing maneuver for Drew McIntyre. Right?
I thought he was just going for that Claymore kick. I really did. I figured that wouldn't have done it for me. What did it for me is just when the official announcement, I didn't even know it when we were doing this review before the show, when the official announcement was Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair was ending the show as the main event, I said Drew McIntyre's not winning. Because it wasn't going to have that moment. Todd, what do you think of the match overall?
You're absolutely right, though. The match was okay, but wasn't thrilling. There's, like you said, with Drew McIntyre did those little Future Shock DDT things. Like Mike said, Lashley is going to retain. He's going to retain.
Yeah, I just knew it before. I just knew they wouldn't start WrestleMania with a big moment like Drew McIntyre wins. You know why? Because the crowd would have went crazy, and then the very next match, you have this tag team elimination match. The crowd already was dead for it. They were dead for it. The wind was let out of their sails anyway. That's why you never start with a big match like that. Because you get that great big pop, and the fans are all like, yeah, this is great. This is wonderful. This is awesome. This is what we came to see. And then it's like, oh, we did not come to see this. We don't really care much about this. And so they get no reaction, which is basically what they got, no reaction. Poor Mandy Rose fell on her ass. By the way, people were asking me, why were the announcers standing for a couple of the matches? Well, I'll tell you why. The big pavilion thing they had built over top of the ring, the rain was coming off of that. It had held some of the rain. Eventually, the rain was coming off of that, and it was creating puddles, and they were trying to clean it up, but there was a lot of rain coming off of that, and it was all through that area, so they just stood for a couple of matches till it stopped raining and they could get it all taken care of. Anyway, fans were just not into this. They just weren't. And I think it was made worse by the fact that if the fans were going to pop for anybody, they probably would have been the Riot Squad winning. And instead, we get Tamina and Natty. Like, anybody in their right mind wants to see Tamina and Natty against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. This is going to get a zero reaction tonight. Zero. Because Natty's been around forever and has never really been pushed as having a huge amount of charisma or immense fan support. And Tamina has about as much charisma as a blow-up doll. So it's, you know, the only thing they can hang their hats on there is, oh, Tamina's just as powerful as Nia maybe, and then they're related somehow. It's going to be, eh. I'd have much rather seen the Riot Squad. Much, much rather seen it. So this match, I thought, was pretty poor. Everybody's just doing a quick little roll-up, one, two, three. Then the actual ring announcer announces it wrong and says the Riot Squad has been eliminated. No. No, they hadn't been. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke were. That's just, what can I tell you? What can I tell you? This is what happens, though, when you start WrestleMania with a big title defense like this. It's one thing to start with an intercontinental title defense or a tag team title defense. That's fine. But when your possible main event is first, did you ever, you go to a concert and the biggest hit song that the band does, they do first? Have you ever heard that in your life? The answer is no. You have not heard that in your life. They are not going to do their biggest hit first. They're going to do their biggest hit either dead last or damn close to it. For obvious reasons. Well, that's the way I felt about this. So, yeah, this got really next to no reaction, Mike, and it wasn't a very strong match anyway.
Right. The best thing in the match is the Riot Squad actually looked like what they are, a possible great tag team. I mean, they were a well-oiled machine. I mean, yeah, you got, Dana and what's-her-name have been together a while, but they look like they were together forever, the Riot Squad. But they should look like that way, you know? But that's the thing that came out of the match to me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, look, the Riot Squad, again, they're a legit tag team. I really feel like if anybody was going to win, it should have been them. But, Todd, not a very strong match.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was not a strong match of that women's tag team turmoil match. Well, like you said, it was just plain old, it was this weekend. There was nothing but roll-up pins and backslide pins.
People said, oh, Peacock screwed up. My TV went black for a minute here and there for 10, 15 seconds. No, that was two wardrobe malfunctions. They have them on time delay just in case something like that happens. There's a few seconds delay. In other words, you're never seeing it completely live. You're seeing it on 5, 10-second delay in case somebody says the wrong word, in case a fan jumps in the ring and does something, in case you have to edit something. And lo and behold, both Mandy Rose and Carmella had wardrobe malfunctions. And that's what the blackouts were about. So anyway, we get to Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. And this was a really, really, really good match. I knew it was going to be a good match, and it was a good match. I fault the WWE for making this match all about, I don't want to be swung, because being swung is embarrassing. I don't know why that's embarrassing. I've never quite figured that out yet. Why is that embarrassing? It's a wrestling move. What's the difference whether you're swung by your heels or you're picked up in an airplane spin or, you know, there's a lot more embarrassing moves in wrestling than just to be swung. So I'm not sure. I don't get that. I'm not sure I get it. But that's what the whole match was built around. I'm not going to be swung. I'm not going to be swung. But they overcame that anyway. And in the end, I would say they had one of the matches of the night. Cesaro got his win just exactly as I thought he might. The fans reacted just as I thought they might. And this should be a signal to the WWE that you can promote Cesaro. Now, should Cesaro be the champion tomorrow? No. But I would make a very strong argument that if the WWE is smart, they will let Sheamus have that belt tonight. And maybe, just maybe, send Cesaro over to Raw so they can have the Cesaro versus Sheamus match for that belt. Cesaro's not married to SmackDown. Let him go over there. Let him go over to Raw. That would be the perfect opponent. By the way, there's some rumors, and it is supposedly true, that Tom Phillips is no longer going to be the lead announcer on Raw. They're hiring some guy from ESPN. And apparently Corey Graves is leaving SmackDown to go over and take the place of Samoa Joe, which means that Joe is probably ready to wrestle again. So I just thought I'd throw that by you. This was a really good match. I'm really happy for Cesaro. I enjoyed the match, Todd, and I think it means they can promote Cesaro and the fans will buy into him. I mean, the fans were very happy.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a really great. That was one of my favorite matches of the night last night. Like you said, with that move he did like a backbreaker without no hands, and the spin with no hands with the on the back. that was pretty cool. Not using the hands of that.
And I forget what he calls it, but it was pretty funny. That's more embarrassing. I mean, than the swing. So I don't understand why he's embarrassed about the swing, but it was a really good match, Mike.
I think they called it the UFO, something like that, you know. But it is cool. I mean, he keeps doing that. That's one of those things that he keeps doing that. And they're going to do nothing but cheer the guy, you know, because that's a cool thing. And here's something else to think about. This is the first step in the WWE leading to the point of, we're going to give you some time off, Seth Rollins, and you and Becky will come back together.
You know, I was thinking the same thing, except, and I don't know if it's true, but there's a very strong rumor tonight that Becky Lynch is returning tonight. They're saying there's supposed to be some segment with Bayley and the Ding Dong, whatever the hell it is, hello, who's there thing, and coming to the door is going to be Becky Lynch. I don't know if that's true. If it is true, it's not like I'm against it, but you're right. I think it would be better. They saved it for Seth Rollins and her to come out together. I really do. Next, we get the New Day. And boy, having them come out with Big E, what a difference. Did you see the difference, what I mean? I mean, it was just day and night. Just day and night. AJ Styles and Omos. I love AJ Styles and I love the New Day. This was a train wreck. And the reason it was a train wreck is because while AJ Styles did his best, number one, it was like a reverse psychology match. Usually it's the face is trapped in the corner and he can't make the tag to his partner and eventually he makes the tag and then the face comes in and cleans house. This is the heel. The heel is trying to make that big critical tag, which was weird. And then Omos comes in, and I mean, the New Day may as well be just jabrons. I mean, literally, Xavier Woods is throwing kicks, and he's just like, yeah, like you're kicking a statue. Try and fly in body presses, drop kicks, yeah, nothing. These are how many time tag team champions? These aren't jabrons. And they just got finished cutting a promo where they said, well, we've dealt with big guys all of our life. I mean, we know how to handle big guys. We fought big guys. We knew we didn't change our size. We've been here forever. Oh, okay. Well, almost is that good then. Well, then he's undefeatable. And I saw no move. Wait till you see what he can do in the ring. I didn't see anything. A power bomb and a couple of running things in the corner. That's it. That's what he can do. Bad Bunny did more, which we'll get to in a minute. So was I impressed? No. Am I glad AJ got the belt to complete his only belt I haven't owned? Yes. I don't see this as being a great tag team. I don't even see this as lasting that long. And I don't know where it's going. But I was disappointed. I thought it was a relatively short match, and I don't think it really highlighted anybody's skill, Mike. It was just basically a match to get almost over as this big monster.
Right, and here's something else that I hope doesn't happen. Remember what they were saying for a long time about Braun Strowman? Just wait till you, even when he was up at 400 pounds or whatever he was at the time, just wait till you, he can do a lot more than he's doing in the ring. Wait till you see what he can do. Well, they had him lose weight, and he's not the same. Now, you look at Almost. What is he? He's 7'3", 400 pounds, or damn near it, and a statue, and you expect that guy to not be fazed by a 210-pound or 220-pound guy trying to hit him, right? That at some point down the line, they don't make this guy lose any weight. Because if they do, then him being this unstoppable, immovable object is done.
Yeah, I don't think they will. But I guess my point is, it's fine to say, okay, the drop kicks aren't working, the hits aren't working. But at least make it appear as though we know we got to run him. You know, get him to come after you, use your agility so he's missing, he's missing, he's missing, he's missing. You're drop kicking, you're hitting him low. It's not really having much effect, but you're trying to wear him down, and then he gets you. Because then you'd at least say, okay, well, that makes sense. They stood toe-to-toe with him, what they think was going to happen. So, I mean, all this talk about we know how to handle big guys, well, apparently you don't. It made the New Day look foolish. It made them look like they had no strategy, that they were just dumb guys who just said, come in there and pound on them, and that'll be good enough. I just think it belittled the New Day as being great champions and made them look like idiots who didn't know enough to realize, well, we can't expect a kick is going to take this guy out. There was a couple good spots in the match, but a little disappointing overall. Then we get to Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon in the steel cage. And, of course, Elias and Jackson Ryker started out by trying to beat the hell out of Braun Strowman with a chair. Shane gets most of the early offense. Even with the sneak attack with the chair, this didn't do Braun Strowman any favors. Was the match a little better than I thought it might be? I guess it was, but again, did you leave feeling Braun Strowman's an indestructible monster again? No, I didn't. At all. And did you leave feeling Shane McMahon is a sneaky, smart heel? No, because at one point, Shane McMahon should have got out of the cage. And instead, he tears off a piece of tin or something and gets back in. And then we're supposed to believe that Shane McMahon, walking down that cage, 2 seconds away from victory, stops to stick his hand through a hole to wave goodbye to Braun Strowman, like he just couldn't wave through the cage. What would be the point of sticking your hand through it? Oh, so it can be grabbed so then you can't escape the cage. Gotcha. Couldn't make it any more obvious. Made Shane look stupid. So did I care for the match? I just don't think it did any good for either one of them. It was there. It was probably a little better and a little longer than I thought it would be, but I don't think it helped anybody. I just think it was there. And, you know, you could easily done this match on a smaller time pay-per-view and it would have been fine, but was this a WrestleMania quality type thing? I don't think so, Todd. I don't think it helped Braun Strowman any really in victory.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, and with the part where Shane McMahon put his hand through the cage, waving bye, he could have just, like, just walk out, just climb over the cage and just escape the cage in the match for the victory.
Put away bye after his feet hit the ground, Mike. It's just kind of ridiculous.
Well, it was kind of ridiculous, especially what happened after that. You know, he pulls the cage apart, right? There's Braun Strowman, which is a good thing. It makes him look more like a monster because that cage is not supposed to come apart. I knew that cage was gimmicked at that point because you're not supposed to be able to do that. But okay, that's fine, right? Okay, he pulls it apart. I would have loved to have seen him pull it apart, pull Shane in, pull it further apart, and then just walk out the cage. That's what should have happened there.
Yeah, it's to the point where the tearing apart of the cage was kind of cool. I liked it. But Shane sticking his arm through there to begin with was really ridiculous. I mean, you couldn't have signaled it any better that this is when I'm not going to get out of the cage. Because for a minute there, I'm like, well, he's so far out, he's definitely winning, I guess. And then when he stuck his hand through the cage, I'm like, okay, I get it now. You know, it wasn't like it was, he couldn't have made it much more obvious. Still a decent match. It was okay. It was. I had no hope for it. So I had it as a, you know, one-star match on paper, and it was probably 3, 2.5. So it's still better than I thought. Now, there's going to be good and bad about this next one. The Miz and Morrison, first bunnies come out. And I have no idea why, but they're losing their ears. I don't know if you noticed that, but one of them came out and only had one ear. And then some of them were losing their ears in the ring, and you could see, like, bunny ears in the ring. I have no idea what the hell kind of costumes they had, but they were losing their ears. Then you had the thing with Bad Bunny, and when he's on top of a truck, but then when he comes into the arena, he's got a different coat on, so you already know that was filmed at different times. Now, let's be clear. Did I expect Bad Bunny to do as well as he did? No. He obviously did train. He obviously did take it seriously, and he obviously did much better and put and had more of the match than I thought he would, because I thought he'd have about a minute. And he actually carried most of the match. So the good news is Bad Bunny took it seriously. He learned some moves. And he actually was able to carry off a majority of the match as a celebrity, which is good. I give him all the credit in the world for that. Now here's the bad. For the people who are saying, did you see how well he wrestled? No, I didn't. And you didn't either. It's an illusion. See, here's the deal. If you have ever wrestled in your life, then you know that every move he did was mostly reliant upon the person he gave it to. I'll give you a little brief story about myself. We had a group in our federation that was led by a female. And the female would keep interfering and keep interfering and keep interfering. And her gimmick was that she was one bad, you know, individual street thug. She could handle herself. And she finally ended up having to be a part of a match where if she got tagged or she was in, then she was fair game to the guys. And I was personally friends with her. And originally we had said, well, you get tagged in, you got to be like, you got to change. What they wanted her to do was change from I'm a big tough whatever who, when your back is turned, to please don't hit me, I'm a girl. And I said, no, let's not do that. Let's let her get in some moves so it's like she's not totally looking like she's a wimp. And one of the moves she wanted to do, because I said, you can't just punch me. You can't just kick me. That's not going to work because, yeah, I'm not really too thrilled about selling to you that way. But I'm going to pick you up. like, I'm going to power bomb you. And you change it into a head scissor flip. It's so easy. I'm doing all the work. I'm lifting you up. You already got your legs around my neck. Then I'm going to twist your body sideways, and all you got to do is just roll. And I roll over with you. There's nothing to it. You don't really do anything. I do all the work. I carry your weight over. I protect you. Everything's good. We learned that in 30 seconds. Yeah, a little exaggeration. A couple of minutes. Learned that in a couple of minutes. Did it 3 or 4 times. You got it. Let's do it. Same way with some of these other moves that Bad Bunny did. They're all reliant upon the guy you're doing it to carrying you through. All you got to do is put your hands in the right position. So it's not like he did a move that was like, oh, well, that takes actual skill of that person. All of it was on the Miz or Morrison. Even the Canadian Destroyer, that's a very easy move. It's 95% relying on the person who's taking it. So before you all go crazy with, look how well he learned in such a short period of time, he's a wrestling genius. No, he's not. The things he did last night, if anyone listening to this show, I can get you to do in a month or so. If we practiced it, I'd get you to do it, all of that stuff. To me, no problem. It's not that hard, especially when you're small and you're easy to, your weight is easy to distribute if you're a bigger guy. For instance, the girl I was talking about, she's light. I was able to pick her up, no problem. I can carry her body weight over. I can make her body go where I want it to go. She doesn't have to. She doesn't have to learn how to fall and do all these things. Now, there are a lot of people who said, well, he sold well. Not really. Because if a 230-pound guy kicks you in the stomach and you're a 160-pound guy, fight's probably over. Selling well doesn't mean I bug my eyes out of my head and fall down for a few seconds and then I get back up. It means, see, what I thought was going to happen was Bad Bunny was going to get a lot of his offense in the beginning where the Miz was saying, where did this come from? Who the hell taught him this? And I thought that the idea was to get Damian Priest over so he would keep kind of like nodding to Damian Priest, like, yeah, that's where I learned it. That's where I learned it. And then eventually the body weight thing would get to be too much and he'd be getting his ass beat to death. And he'd finally make that desperation tag and Damian Priest would come in and clean house. And then out of respect for Bad Bunny, tag him and let him do the finisher, the final move. That's how I thought it would work. After he finished him off. No! You destroyed Damian Priest in this match. This match was over and The Miz won. I want you to understand that. The Miz couldn't beat Bad Bunny. But The Miz clearly beat Damian Priest. He gave him the skull-crushing finale. Priest was not kicking out. And if it had not been for Bad Bunny making the save, match would be over. So this in no way helped Damian Priest. Damian Priest ends up looking like, oh, well, I'm not even as good as Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny had to save my ass, not vice versa. See, the whole point of the match should have been to get Damian Priest over. The way you get him over is to have Bad Bunny acknowledge that this is where I learned all this. Keep, you know, pointing at him, winking at him like, hey, you taught me right. This is good. The Miz getting madder and madder. Eventually they cheat. They're beating the hell out of Bad Bunny. He has no more offense because he's too small to absorb this punishment. He's presumably never absorbed this kind of punishment. So he has no real way to absorb this kind of punishment. And the Miz could have pinned him a dozen times, but they keep picking him up like, no, we're going to punish you some more. Could have had him say it. Ah, it's not done yet. Then eventually he comes up with that one big move, makes the tag. Damian Priest wipes out everybody. Tags Bad Bunny when he clearly could have pinned him by himself. And Bad Bunny does the, you know, the finisher, and that's it. That's the way you promote Damian Priest. Because then the idea behind the match is Priest taught Bad Bunny everything he knew. At the end of the day, Bad Bunny had to make that tag to Damian Priest because he was getting his ass kicked. He did well for a while because he surprised him. Now he's not doing so well, and now the real professional wrestler has to come in and make the save. And the real professional wrestler is more of a match for The Miz and Morrison. And the real professional wrestler prevails. But then understands that Bad Bunny took took a lot of abuse from these guys. So after he gives him his finisher, he tags Bad Bunny and says, go ahead, you make the pin. And Bad Bunny does the top rope splash or whatever he's going to do for the pin. That's how you get Damian Priest over as this is the guy we're trying to promote. Not he takes a finisher and will not kick out, but Bad Bunny makes the save. How does that help Damian Priest? I would have lost if not for that powerhouse Bad Bunny. Turns out I'm no match for The Miz, but thank God my pal Bad Bunny saved me. And we're supposed to buy into Damian Priest now? Why? Why? Wouldn't it have been better if Damian Priest saved Bad Bunny two or three times? Because The Miz wouldn't let him over in the corner to make the tag? And finally, Bad Bunny does do something and makes the tag? Wouldn't that have been better for Damian Priest? Isn't that the point of the match? Why are you trying to get Bad Bunny over? He's gone now, probably. Now you're looking at Damian Priest and you're saying, eh. So I don't know, Mike. I mean, yeah, he did better than most celebrity people in the ring-wise, but I think the psychology to the match was completely wrong.
It really was. Let's compare the last celebrity to get in the ring and wrestle and Bad Bunny. Well, who was that? That was Stephen Amell, right?
And for WWE,
look how
yeah.
good he did. Yep. Look how good he did, right? So good that he ended up going following Cody over somewhere else and got in the ring again and did some more in the ring. Now he's on a show called basically a wrestling TV show, you know, about
right.
wrestling, you know. So, but he did pretty well. But, again, there's a difference between Amell and Bad Bunny, and you know what that difference is? About 50 to 60 pounds.
Right.
You know? Stephen Amell is, what, 220, and Bad Bunny's about a buck 50? I mean, you would have bought Stephen Amell, you know, wrestling, having a good match against The Miz because, at least with The Miz, with him and The Miz are about the same size, right?
Not
Bad
to mention
that buck 50.
Right,
yeah.
Not to mention
go
that
ahead.
Stephen Amell is in really good shape, really good physical shape. And Bad Bunny's kind of a slight, you know, small, non-muscular type guy. I was fine with the beginning because I really thought that what I said was going to play out. He was going to surprise them in the beginning, give all the credit to Damian Priest by keep, you know, looking at him in the corner like, hey, man, you know, the stuff you taught me is working. Maybe having The Miz get into Damian Priest's face and yelling at him, what the hell, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, if you notice, he did get hurt in one spot. The Miz tried to throw him out of the ring. He didn't know how to fall out of the ring, so he hit his face on the ropes. And you'll notice that The Miz went over and stalled for time, yelling at Damian Priest to give Bad Bunny some time to recover because he knew he hit his head on the ropes, which is what hurt Enzo at one time. He did okay. But again, a lot of those moves are reliant upon the person that the move is being done to pull it off right. That's number one. Number two, the psychology is totally wrong for this match. Your ultimate goal should be to get Damian Priest over. The way to do that is make Bad Bunny look like, wow, for a while he's doing great. The Miz and Morrison got taken totally off guard because they thought he was going to be easy, and he's not easy. He really put some work into this. But eventually they catch up to him. The body weight difference, the experience difference, the fact that Bad Bunny can't absorb that kind of punishment took its toll. They will not let him tag. And they just keep throwing him back. They could pin him a dozen times, but they won't. Priest is getting madder and madder, realizing his friend's getting the hell beat out of him, and there's nothing he can really do about it. Maybe once or twice he actually breaks up the three count. Then Bad Bunny pulls off something smart or something really good, and the Miz and Morrison go crashing into each other or whatever. Bad Bunny makes the desperation tag, and here comes Damian Priest like a house on fire, clears the ring. Gives the Miz his finisher, points at Bad Bunny, who's still outside the ring, clutching his gut in agony. And Bad Bunny climbs up to the top, does the splash, 1, 2, 3. That's it. And the idea behind that is, look, Damian Priest won the match. But for all that Bad Bunny went through, he gave him the victory. That's what promotes Damian Priest. And then you say, man, when he got in there, the Miz and Morrison got their asses kicked. Not to mention that he was a nice enough guy to let Bad Bunny get the win. That's how you promote Damian Priest, but you didn't do it. Instead, you had Damian Priest have to rely on Bad Bunny not to lose the match. How does that promote Damian Priest? Well, if it wasn't for Bad Bunny, Damian Priest would have lost at WrestleMania. Terrific. So you're a tough professional wrestler, but you had to get saved by a 150-pound rapper who's doing this for the first time. Wow. You're a future champion. I'm sorry. I thought that was outrageous, and I did not like it at all. But the match itself was decent, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with the match with Damian Priest, Bad Bunny, Miz, and Morrison, it was an okay match. Like you said, I was surprised they got the win, per se.
I wasn't even surprised they got the win. I was more surprised that the Bad Bunny is the tough guy. I just don't get that. I just don't get it. I don't know why that would be the case. Anyway, Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks. What made this match, I hate to say it, what made this match was Bianca Belair's reaction in the beginning. Because that was not staged. She was so overwhelmed by emotion that she literally broke down crying. Sasha Banks could not hold her emotion. She tried to, but you could clearly see her smiling. She could clearly see that she was in the moment too. That's what made the match. Had both of these came in there stone-faced yelling at each other, I'm the best, no, I'm the best, we would have said it was an okay match. It was a good match. This is what I try to tell everyone on this show about the fact that you need to buy into these characters. I want you to imagine that Bianca Belair came to the ring and Sasha Banks came to the ring and they just got into a big argument while the referee's talking to them about, you know, don't do this or don't do that, or they're being announced. I'm the best. No, I'm the best. No, I am. This is my moment. No, it's my moment. Would you have felt the same way about this match? No. What changed your mind and made you want to root for Bianca Belair, if she legitimately broke down crying, it was such a special moment to her. Because then you were able to emotionally invest in her as a person, as a human being. And you said, this is such a special moment for her that it became a special moment for you. That's the psychology behind wrestling. This was accidental in this case, but it still works. Accidental or not, it still works. That's why today I'm hearing what a great, great match it was. It was a good match. It wasn't a great match. It was a good match. What made it great was you really were rooting for somebody because you saw genuine emotion and you genuinely invested yourself into Bianca Belair. That's what made it work. That's why I'm telling you, these wrestlers, it's so important that they get their characters over so you personally are invested in them one way or the other. You either want to see them lose or you want to see them win. That's the important thing in wrestling. Not how many flips you do, not how good your super kick is, but that you literally have a stake in who wins. That's why people were not impressed with the elimination tag team match to see who was going to go for the women's tag team title. Because no one was emotionally invested in any of those characters. The closest we could come to being emotionally invested in any of those characters was the Riot Squad, because we may have said, well, you know, they've been around a while. You know, they're a legitimate tag team. They deserve a little more of a push, but that's it. There was no reason to root for any of them. Much. And that's why you go for popcorn during that match. Not because they're not good athletes. Because you're not emotionally invested. As much as I was against them having the main event, and still am for the reasons I said at the beginning of this show, I was emotionally invested in that match because I said, wow, Bianca Belair is legitimately thrilled to be here. this is a moment, and she is absorbing this moment. And she's realizing this is it. And you could see her realize it's unprofessional to do this. I'm trying not to. And she could not help it. Now, if that doesn't make you want to root for her, I don't know. I don't know. I can promise you it only works in the women's division, though, because if Daniel Bryan gets in the ring and cries tonight, that's not going to work. So for all you people telling me there's no difference between a male and a female, yes, yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. It worked for me. I was rooting for her, even though I knew she was going to win. I absolutely knew she was going to win. There's no way they're sending people home night one of WrestleMania with Sasha Banks retaining. Not happening. But still, it was a really good feel-good moment. But until she did that, those fans were not as emotionally invested. She didn't get a super pop until they saw that. Don't believe me? Go back and watch it again. As soon as that appeared on the Titantron, her literally breaking down, fans started really, like, cheering. And from that moment, they were emotionally invested. That's what professional wrestling is about. Being able to reach out to that crowd and say, I want you to want me to win. And that crowd saying, I really do want them to win. Or the opposite, I want you to want me to lose. And that crowd saying, boy, I hope this person loses. That's what wrestling's about. Not how good your super kick is. So, Mike, I think that's what saved the day here, really, to be honest.
It really was. Now, she did, I think she did have, she also had the spot on the night, you know, when she hit her with her, I don't know what they do to her hair, Bianca Belair's hair, to make it act like it's a bullwhip, you know. I mean, that's the sound it made when it hit her, when it hit Sasha Banks, and Sasha Banks' reaction to it, and then followed by I believe it was Corey Graves and them saying something to the effect of, well, that did Sasha. I don't see how she can recover from that, you know. That was a great series of things that happened. And, I mean, I said it before about her hair, about that long ponytail. And Sasha Banks did it a few times in the match, used it, tried to use that long ponytail against her, you know, which was...
Yeah, and, you know, there's two things about that. One is they did a good job with booking that because, quite obviously, Sasha keep using that. You knew eventually Bianca would use it to her advantage. If Bianca used it first, she'd look like a heel. Oh, she's using her hair as a weapon. That's almost like a foreign object. It's not fair. But because Sasha used it 2-3 times to her advantage, then when Bianca used it, it was like, okay, well, hey, you want to use it against me? I'll use it for me. So there's no heat on her for using that. Number two, I don't even know if it's real. It could just be some sort of an extension. And it legitimately cut Sasha Banks. If you seen Sasha on the outside of the ring afterwards, she had a welt and it was bleeding on the side she was hit on. So that was a legit shot. Yeah, I mean, look, it was a feel-good moment, Todd. I still don't think they deserve the main event, but I get why. In the end, it worked for them.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a moment there. Like you said, with the Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair, that welt, she was like, I noticed when they had that welt on her, like, oh, man, that's going to hurt
yeah,
in the morning.
Which is cool. Look, Wrestling 101, I don't care what anybody says. And I know there's a new school of thought out there, even amongst wrestlers. It's how crisp my super kick is. No, it's not. Take a look at what happened last night. Why do you think those fans went from, I'm pretty interested in this match, to, oh, come on, Bianca, pull it out? Because of her tearful and legitimate reaction to being in a WrestleMania ring in the main event and knowing it meant the world to her. That's why you rooted for her. More wrestlers have to take into consideration, how do I get these fans to either want me to win desperately or want me to lose desperately? That's the main goal. I don't care how good your super kick is. I don't care how many flippity-flop moves you can do. I don't care if you can last 25 minutes in the ring. I don't care. What I care about is that you somehow can make those fans care whether you win or lose, because that's what's going to keep them coming back. Look how good Ricochet is. First time you see some of his finishers and things, you're like, well, that's just amazing. I got to see that again. So you go to see him again, and you're like, hey, man, that really is amazing. I'm going to tell some of my friends, and we're going to go see him again. Then you go see him again, and your friends are like, that's freaking amazing. But then after you see it 10 times, you're like, all right, I've seen that. It was amazing. Obviously, he can do it. What now? And Ricochet was never able to make you want him to win or lose. You just came there to see moves. Doesn't matter if he wins or loses. I just want to see those cool moves. Okay. Well, that doesn't sustain a career. What sustains a career is when you legitimately care as a fan if they win or lose. Anyway, let's get on a little bit to what's going to happen tonight. Obviously, we have Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, and they'll be taking Tamina and Natty. Is this the first time two Samoan women have actually competed? Maybe they should be in the main event. Maybe we should knock everybody off the main event and make this the main event, because I don't recall two Samoan women competing in a main event at WrestleMania ever before, ever. Anyway, I think Natty and Tamina are winning. I don't see them keeping Nia and Shayna Baszler together after this. I just don't. I don't know where it would go after this. There's no other teams to fight. There's nothing else to do. There's no other stories to tell. They've run their course. They've done everything they can do. Time for them to go back out on their own where they belonged, really, to begin with. So I'm going to say that Tamina and Natty get their big break tonight, and they become the women's tag team champions, Mike.
Right, and especially, look, what I liked about the end of the gauntlet match or whatever it was called was they let Tamina get the win using her father's move, and they never kicked out, you know, and that's the way it should
right.
be. If Tamina uses that move and somebody kicks out of it, it lessens the move. You know, I'm sorry.
Right.
I mean, you may make the point, well, on pay-per-views, yeah, it's good to have somebody kick out of that move every so often. But no, not that particular move, not with the history to that move, you know.
No, I mean, if you're ever going to let anybody kick out of that move, then it better be somebody who's supposed to be really, really hard. Like, if Nia Jax kicked out of it, I'd say, okay. Maybe, just due to her weight alone and how big she is, maybe. But nobody else should. Once in a blue moon, if somebody does, that's fine. But it should be protected. Absolutely should be protected. Todd, what do you think? I think this is probably the end of the road for Shayna Baszler and Nia. I think they're going to implode themselves. I think they're going to end up in a fight themselves.
Oh, well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, they're going to lose the belts tonight, too, to Tamina and Natalya. Well, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with that direction, Natalya and Tamina over.
Now, if you're smart in this next match, here's what we were talking about when it comes to Bianca Belair. You have Matt Riddle against Sheamus. Who do you think fans are more emotionally invested in? Sheamus, who has brought them so much entertainment and so really, really, really solid matches these past couple of weeks and months. Or Matt Riddle, who's brought them ridiculous, stupid nonsense about a guy on a scooter and just being annoying. I think there's going to be a lot of Sheamus fans in the crowd tonight. I really do. So you have a problem. You either got to have Sheamus do something so outrageous that fans say, well, I can't root for him. Or you have to have Matt Riddle do something that's so over the top good that they say, well, I have to root for Matt Riddle now. Too late to flip him. You could have done that. And I thought you were going to do that, actually. So I don't know. I mean, I know I'm rooting for Sheamus. And I know Derek in the chat room is rooting for Sheamus. And I think most of the people on this panel are rooting for Sheamus. So I have to assume we're not the only ones. So I think you're going to get a really mixed crowd here. And I don't think that's what the WWE thinks at all. I think they think Sheamus is going to come out to a chorus of boos for what he did to McIntyre and all this. But I Mike, I don't think so. I think we're going to see the opposite.
I don't think so either. And especially if their plan is actually to bring over Cesaro. I mean, who do you want to be the face in that feud, right?
I mean, yeah, you'd want Cesaro.
Yeah, you want Cesaro. So how, like you said, how are they going to do it to where, what are they going to do to make either one of them look over the top, you know?
It's so easy to do with Riddle, because all you would have had to do with Riddle, you had it set up. All you had to do with Riddle after Sheamus beat him is to say, okay, I'm done. You know, I came in here and I was told the main thing that you need to do here to make a name for yourself is to entertain the fans. And that's fine, and I want to try to do that. But in the midst of doing that, I lost who I really am. And this isn't really me. I mean, I'm a fun-loving guy, and I like to party and all kinds of stuff, but I tried to be over the top and do whatever, and I lost focus. And that's not happening anymore. Sheamus is going to see the real Matt Riddle. He's not going to like it. And then we'd say, oh, okay, well, we forgive Matt Riddle for trying to be a goofball then. I guess he's going to be that serious MMA fighter. And, okay, we're going to see something. And then probably would have liked Matt Riddle a lot better for it. We didn't get that. Or you could have flipped him right then and there. And you could have had him say, look, you know, I came in here trying to entertain you fans, and all you did was boo me because you're all idiots. And I'm tired of trying to play up to you, and I'm not doing it anymore. I'm twice the athlete of anybody back there. Everybody knows it. Half of them are afraid of me. And I'm losing to this idiot? No, I don't think so. And we would have said, well, what a cocky, arrogant asshole. I hope he loses. There were a couple of options you could have done with that, really. You didn't do any of them. And as far as trying to make Sheamus this evil, horrible man, you really didn't do a good job on that either, because no matter what he did to McIntyre, he still sort of said, I hate him, but... I mean, I wouldn't let anybody else beat him up. And McIntyre's saying the same thing, so you begrudgingly say, oh, well, yeah, he's okay. They're like brothers. It's all right. That's not what you do. If you really wanted Sheamus to be over the top, you have Sheamus say, yeah, that's absolutely true. He came to my rescue, and as much as I don't like him, I'd come to his rescue and then have him not come to his rescue. So you say, well, he's just a lying bastard. He's back there laughing at the monitor while Drew McIntyre's getting beat. McIntyre didn't do that. He came out and helped them. But you didn't do that. So they're going to root for Sheamus, and I don't blame them. I'm rooting for Sheamus too. You made Matt Riddle such a goofball, annoying character. I don't know anybody that's rooting for him. Having said that, Riddle's had it a while. I don't think he's proven anything, Mike. I'm going to say that Sheamus wins this.
I think Sheamus wins it too. And, I mean, like we say, what other than Cesaro, what's next for Sheamus, right? I mean, other than Cesaro,
yeah.
What's next for Sheamus?
It's tough, I know. I'm not sure what would be next for Sheamus. If they move Cesaro over, that would be good, but then you got a problem, don't you? Because if everybody's rooting for Sheamus, you don't want to kill Cesaro's pop. So, I don't know. You'd have to put him against somebody real, real popular and have him do something really bad to him. That's the only way you'd be able to do that. And if not, if you want Sheamus to be a face, well, then forget the Cesaro thing. You're going to have to go another direction. Think Cesaro tonight or Matt Riddle?
I got to go with Sheamus to be the new U.S. champion. I just don't like how they're – I just don't like Riddle as the United States champion. It just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I don't think it's working for too many people. We then have Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn. This could steal the show. It really could. I don't know what Logan Paul's going to do. I don't care what Logan Paul does. I mean, again, I don't even know why he's there. But I guarantee if he does anything, it's going to be to help Kevin Owens, because there's no way Logan Paul wants to be walk out of here, I'm a bad guy. That's not going to happen. So if he does anything, he'll turn on Sami Zayn. He almost did anyway. So it's not like he's firmly on Sami Zayn's side. I don't know what the hell he's doing. Some people said he was going to be a guest referee. That didn't seem, they didn't say that. So I don't know what he's going to do. But this could steal the show. Sami Zayn hasn't won much. I don't see Sami Zayn winning this one. They're trying their best to promote Kevin Owens a little bit. I'm going to go with Kevin Owens, Mike. I don't see Sami Zayn pulling this out.
I don't really see it either. Plus, you know, you don't. If you have plans, other plans for Kevin Owens, they really haven't scratched the tip of what they can do with Kevin Owens. There's only so much you can do with Sami Zayn, right? And they basically done it. I mean, he's that annoying heel that you just want to see somebody, you know, punch his face. Unless you plan on flipping Sami Zayn at some point. But then again, Sami Zayn as a face really doesn't work, does he?
Not as good, no. Not as good. Much better heel, and there's no question about that. I have to say Kevin Owens. Todd, what's your thought?
I gotta go with you here on this one. I gotta go with Kevin Owens too.
Okay, we then get a Nigerian drum fight. I don't know what a Nigerian drum fight is, and it's not really been explained. I guess it's just like a false count anywhere type thing, I guess. I'm not really sure why you would have this match again just to have Apollo Crews lose. Because if he loses again, after he lost at Fastlane, he lost all those times on SmackDown, he's done. I mean, you just gave him another character, and he just can't win again. He may as well be the old Apollo Crews, because he's not winning. He's the same guy with a different gimmick. I put up a good fight, and I lose. Flip him heel, and he'll be, I put up a good fight, and I lose. What's the difference then? You basically made him, you've already weakened his character. Because he's lost every time he's tried. He's got to win this time. And now you've given him a match that he has chosen, a Nigerian drum match. If he can't win his own match of his own choosing, then the character's done. Character's done. Maybe you'll send Big E back with the New Day now that the New Day has lost their belts. Maybe that's what the whole plan is. Lose the belts, get back together, and be a team again, because we made a mistake separating you, which is absolutely the truth. So I'm going to say Apollo Crews has to win this, Mike. Anything else? And I think his character is just about done.
I think so, too. And furthermore, again, where are the other two guys? Where are the so-called military guys? You know, I mean, if I was booking for the WWE, I would have those other two guys show up in this match and maybe factor into it. But that's just me. That's how I would book it.
Yeah, I mean, that could work. I'm absolutely for it. If you want to make Big E lose very unclean so you get a couple of rematches before he rejoins New Day, I'm good with that. Now, Derek is saying, why aren't they the main event? Did they have two black men have a main event at WrestleMania? I don't recall. I don't think so. Has two black men, that's a very good question. Has two black men main evented WrestleMania? I don't recall it. I don't recall it. So maybe you should just give them the main event, huh? WrestleMania? See how that works? See how I'm saying that's pandering? It's virtue signaling. That's all it is. Because I guarantee you what the WWE would say is, well, I mean, they've had a pretty good feud, but they don't deserve the main event of WrestleMania. I mean, the feud hasn't been that strong. Neither was Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. They were handed that main event because of the color of their skin and their gender. That's the only reason. And if I were them, I would be offended rather than honored. Because I'd say that is the only reason you're handing it to me. Not because we earned it or deserved it. Not because our feud was built up so well that it really was the main event, like, you know, Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey. Well, you built that up where you're like, yeah, that's definitely, I mean, that is the main event. No. It was because of the color of their skin and their gender. That's the only reason. That's called pandering, and I don't like it. What can we say? I mean, I don't think Big E has worked out quite as well as they hoped as a solo performer. I don't think the New Day has worked out quite as well as they hoped as just a tag team without him. I think maybe they realize their mistakes and they're trying to put them back together. Like, maybe that's the ultimate goal here.
I think so, too. And, look, it would have made – I mean, it's a little bit too little too late because, to tell you the truth, I think that I like Xavier and what's his name as the New Day and Kofi as the New Day, but that match last night would have worked way better if you had Big E versus the big guy, you know, in that tag team match as well.
Yep.
Two power guys, two guys. Yeah, maybe Big E's not going to be able to pick him up. I don't know, but he can knock. He's strong enough to knock him down. He's strong enough to try to pick him up. I mean, we know how wrestling works. You got to allow yourself to be picked up, you know. You can be as powerful as you can, but if the other guy don't want to be picked up, you know, he ain't going to be picked up, right?
Right, with some exceptions. I mean, I don't think Bad Bunny could stop himself from being scooped up, but most people. But Big E's character, and certainly in real life, he's strong enough to pick almost up. Big E's a power lifter. He can pick almost up. If you can pick the Big Show up and you can pick up some of these other guys, you can pick almost up. I don't know if they'd have let him, but you're right. It would have been a much more interesting match if a power guy got in there and you said, okay, well, now let's see. Maybe that's where they're heading with this. Put Big E back with Kofi and say, let's see what happens. Now that we got a power guy too, you got a technical fast guy in AJ. We got one in Kofi. You got a big powerful guy. Well, now we got one too. I mean, maybe that would work. I don't know. Either way, I think that's probably what's happening because I don't think Big E worked out quite the way they hoped. Asuka versus Rhea Ripley. Right up until last week, I thought Asuka was doomed. I thought there was no chance in absolute hell that Asuka would walk out of there still the champion. Now I think there's some chance. Only because on the go-home show, she was battered and made to look kind of ridiculous. Well, the go-home show to the go-home show, I guess it was. And I don't know, you really want to make Asuka look that bad? She was beaten up during the contract signing. Then during the tag team match, she was abandoned by her partner and beaten up and left lying. That usually means she's going to get the final laugh. But boy, you want Rhea Ripley to come in here and lose? That's hard to believe, too. So again, up until that happened to Asuka so many times in a row, I gave her zero chance. Now I give her maybe 20% chance. The WWE might be stupid enough to have Rhea Ripley lose. But I still say it's very heavily favored for Rhea Ripley to win this match. So I'm going to pick Rhea Ripley. I think it's a shame because I think you're really undermining Asuka. But I do think Rhea Ripley will win, Mike.
And you're also screwing the money match. If what we're hearing is true, and tonight's the night that Becky's going to show back up again, then it could be
chance, yeah.
Right. So if Becky shows up during this match, even if it is to sit out there and maybe do commentary, then that's going to tell you that Asuka's going to win because. They can't not see the money in an Asuka Becky Lynch match.
No, Mike, that is the money match. That's the money match. I mean, that is obvious. And you didn't. You don't even have to have either one of them turn heel if you don't want. You just have Becky Lynch come in and say, well, you know, I handed you the belt. I'm hoping you'll hand me the title opportunity. And, of course, Asuka could say, absolutely. Or you could have Asuka turn heel and say, no, 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 I'm not going to. Either way you work it, that is the money match. There's no question. So if you're a promoter and you're saying, look, we're working on getting Brock Lesnar back to do Brock Lesnar Lashley at SummerSlam. Becky Lynch is coming back. We're working on Becky Lynch versus Asuka at SummerSlam. Those are two pretty damn good matches that fans would be very interested in. You going to let Rhea Ripley spoil that, who can't use a microphone to save her life? She's a good wrestler. Not good on the mic. I don't know. That's why I'm saying it would be an awful thing for her to lose in her, really, her first big match here. She also lost, I know, before, but to Charlotte. But it would be a, I don't know. It would be an awful blow to Rhea Ripley to lose. But if you're the promoter and you're staring down the barrel of Becky Lynch versus Rhea or Becky Lynch versus Asuka, I know what I choose and I know where the money is. So we'll see what happens. Before this, I gave Asuka no chance, but with the rumor that Becky Lynch is ready to come back and Asuka being made to look so bad the weeks before, I don't give her zero chance anymore. Now, Derek is saying he doesn't think Big E or Rhea can afford to lose. Well, Rhea really can't. It would be hard for Rhea to lose. As far as Big E can afford to lose. He's beaten Apollo Crews how many times? There's no big deal for Big E to lose. He's beaten Apollo Crews like a drum. He's given him like six chances, and he's beaten him every single one of those chances. So, I mean, all Big E really has to say, even if he loses and even if he doesn't go back to the New Day, all Big E really has to say is, how many times have I beaten Apollo Crews? And how many times has he beaten me? So he's beaten me once out of eight times. And he'd be right. So Big E can afford to lose. Rhea's another story. That's why this one's going to be very interesting, Todd. I'm not 100% sure who's going to win, but I'm still saying they'll probably go with Rhea Ripley.
Like you said, Rhea Ripley just came up, but I'm going to go with her anyway over Asuka.
It's a shame, though, in a way, because, again, if you know Becky's coming back, man, I don't know how you can turn that down. The Fiend versus Randy Orton, well, this is a tough one. Is there any possible way Randy Orton can win this match? If he does, you can say goodbye to The Fiend. Completely goodbye. Never to be seen again. Who cares? Doesn't matter. No, this is a cumulation. That's not really so bad. And I'll tell you why. A lot of fans say, oh, that's why it's going to be boring. We already know Randy Orton is absolutely, no doubt about it, going to lose. You're right. But a lot of people turn into TV shows at the end of the season where they know this is where the bad guy's getting it. You already know the bad guy's getting it. They built it up all season long. And you say, this is where this person finally gets what's coming to him, and I want to watch. That's what this is. We know Randy Orton's losing. He's losing bad, but we want to watch. Because they've built it up for how long? So this is not going to be a tremendous match. We already know that. But it's going to be the culmination of the story. So if you're into this story, this is the match you want to see. This is the ending. If you're not into it, then you're not into it. Then, you know, this is your match to go to popcorn or whatever. Go to the bathroom. Run, make a beer run. Whatever you got to do. If you're not into this storyline, you're not. If you are, this is absolutely the culmination of all of the stuff that's come before it. And probably the rebirth of The Fiend in a very different way, and maybe even Alexa Bliss in a very different way. So this is your closing season episode. So that's pretty easy. The Fiend is easily going to win, Mike. And this is just what I said. It's the closing season episode.
The Fiend is going to win unless it's the other guy playing The Fiend. Because remember, the last time he saw The Fiend, it wasn't Bray Wyatt, right? He was a little bit smaller.
We thought that and people have said that. Every source now that I have got says it was, in fact, Bray Wyatt. So I don't know. They could be lying to me.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't look like – I mean, just by looking at him, I mean, Bray Wyatt's what, 280, 290, whatever he is? And that guy didn't look maybe 220, maybe. You know, so
definitely
look. If it's not that smaller guy, and remember the rumors, there have been long rumors about a Fiend versus Fiend deal, and to be a Fiend versus Fiend deal, you'd have to almost have another guy. You'd have to have another guy to be under that mask. So, wouldn't put it past him to do this, but if it's just Bray Wyatt and him, then Bray Wyatt's got to win this match. The Fiend's going to win this match.
Yeah, I'm thinking the Fiend is going to win this either way, even if they pull it, because then they could literally – I think Randy Orton wants some time off. So I think Randy Orton's going to disappear for a little while. What do you think, Todd? Randy Orton or the Fiend?
I'm going to go with the Fiend.
Yeah, even if they are going to pull some kind of thing where it's not the actual Fiend, they could do it later anyway. I don't think they'll do it now, because this isn't the main event. They don't want it to outshine any main event, so I think they'll just keep it to the Fiend kicks Randy Orton's ass, and that's it. We then have Roman Reigns, Edge, and Daniel Bryan. And for anybody who says the buildup was not better adding Daniel Bryan, I just don't know what to say to you anymore. Because if you were looking down the barrel of just Edge and Roman Reigns, this is a yawner. Now adding Daniel Bryan, you're like, well, I don't know. It does throw in a different attitude. I'm not sure Edge will win this. I don't think he's going to. It would seem harsh to take the belt off Roman Reigns right now when he's doing so well as a face. But, man, you've got a real untold story there with Edge and Daniel Bryan that you could work some great matches for the belt, too, if Edge was to win or Daniel Bryan was to win. So it's very difficult now that you've added that third person. That's what makes adding the third person so great. My instincts tell me Roman Reigns retains and Edge and Daniel Bryan really get into it, that I would have won if not for you. No, I would have won if not for you. And they still have a match probably at SummerSlam or whatever, which would be great. But there's a part of me that thinks maybe Daniel Bryan's going to pull this off just to get that WrestleMania moment. Because if this is the end, this is the final match at WrestleMania, is Roman Reigns holding up the belt a big WrestleMania moment, or is Daniel Bryan overcoming all the odds to win the WrestleMania moment? So I think Daniel Bryan's got a chance here. And then we get a series of Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan and Edge versus Daniel Bryan matches coming up, which could take you all the way into SummerSlam. Two possible thoughts. Roman Reigns retains. Edge and Daniel Bryan start a bitter feud. And Roman Reigns moves on. That works for me. Alternate is Daniel Bryan wins the belt, and you got Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan rematches, and you got Edge and Daniel Bryan rematches. Either one of them works. Edge winning does not work for me, Mike. So what's your thoughts?
Edge does not work for me either. It's got to either be Daniel Bryan or Roman Reigns. And it's likely going to be, I would say, 60-40, probably Roman. But if you notice what I did there, I gave him 40%. I gave Daniel Bryan 40%. So think about it, you know. And here's something else that happened at the end of this build. They may, by having Uso win that battle royal, they made him back into the main event Uso again. I mean, they strengthened him.
They definitely strengthened him. And think about this. Where's Jimmy? He's ready to come back. Maybe tonight we see him. Maybe tonight Jimmy Uso makes his return and helps Roman win somehow. That could add some more fuel to the fire. Adding Daniel Bryan to this match, I'm telling you, has made this match much more unpredictable. and gives you much more branches on the tree. I don't know really who's going to win this match. And for that reason, this is the one, Todd, I'm most looking forward to tonight.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, there could be some returns tonight, like a Jimmy Uso helping Roman Reigns to retain the Universal title. It could happen.
Who's your pick?
We're going to go with Roman to retain.
Yeah, this is really hard. This is one of the harder ones I've had in recent times. I can't say with any certainty who's going to win this. I'll give Roman 40%. I'll give Daniel Bryan 35%, and I'll give Edge the 15% or 25%. That's how close it is. They may give it to Edge just for, because it would work the other. Like I said, Daniel Bryan and Edge fighting each other for the belt would work if Daniel had it, and it would work if Edge had it. I don't know where it goes for Roman, though. I guess Roman could have some more matches with Edge, but how many? Edge is only contracted to have a very small amount of matches. So even if Edge wins, it's going to be real short term. That's why I don't give him a high percentage to win. If he wins, it's going to be real short. Because he's not scheduled to do 6, 8, 10 matches. He's scheduled to do like 2 more all year. Some people said he signed a full-time contract. I'd love to know who has that information, because no one I've talked to said that. And you'll notice he hasn't competed much. So I give him a much smaller percentage. But if you back me into a corner, I only can go by what I would say if I was the promoter. If I was the promoter, I would have Edge and Daniel Bryan really get into it bitterly. Roman take advantage of it. Maybe Jimmy Uso come back and help. Roman retains, but we get Edge and Daniel Bryan into a major, major feud for the next, pay-per-view or so, Mike.
Right, and that's the thing. And like I said, look, it was just the heel thing. If tonight was the night that Jimmy comes back and he did factor into Roman winning, it would automatically make him a heel. It would help Roman Reigns' heel persona, and it would definitely help Jay's heel persona. So, like I said, I don't foresee the reason why I didn't give Edge any shot is because I just don't, because of the lack of time he's going to spend in the ring, because he only has, 2 or 3 matches left for the year?
Right.
For the year now. We're not talking in the next 6 months, for the year. So they're not going to want, Edge is not Brock Lesnar, all right? Brock Lesnar, at his age, at 42, he could probably get away with doing 1 or 2 matches a year because he's still in halfway decent shape and he's not in his 50s, right? Whereas Edge is there and he is, he's coming off a serious injury and all that stuff. So, I don't foresee Edge winning at all,
Yeah, the serious injuries is the main thing there. Though the WWE is so short-sighted, because if you think about this, if you're going to let Lashley retain anyway last night, and you kept the Hurt Business together, and maybe you're going to let Roman Reigns retain tonight, and maybe you're going to see the return of Jimmy Uso, you would then have a champion and a tag team on Raw that seems invincible. They never lose. A champion and a tag team on SmackDown. It seems even invincible. They never lose. And with SummerSlam coming up, they could afford each other. It would have been that would have been amazing. The Hurt Business versus the Usos and Roman Reigns. You couldn't promote that. Holy crap. I don't know who the fans would have rooted for. It wouldn't have mattered. You don't need a heel or a face. Just be like, whoa, here we go. This is going to be special. I would have paid to see that. But you had to keep them all strong, and you didn't do it. you disbanded the Hurt Business, made them look ridiculous, that Lashley could beat them up by himself. And it's just at the point now where I'm not sure you're even going to let Roman Reigns retain. It's a shame, Mike, because that would have been pretty much a match that I think WWE Universe would have loved to have seen.
And right, and let alone the fact that with Brock Lesnar coming back, you could have had not only Paul Heyman promoting against Lashley for Brock Lesnar, but you could have had Roman Reigns, MVP, and can you imagine? Like I said before, can you imagine those two guys verbally sparring back and forth? MVP and Heyman.
So this is going to be a SummerSlam match. Not a SummerSlam, a Survivor Series match. That's one thing. You could have stalled Lesnar, or you could have had this match before. You could have said, for the first time, we're going to have SmackDown come over and Raw and SmackDown for this pay-per-view. The champions are going to fight the champion. That's fine. No matter who wins, you move on to Brock Lesnar, because you're not going to have Roman pinned, and you're not going to have Lashley pinned, even if they do fight each other in that way. It's either going to be one of the Usos or one of the other Hurt Business that gets pinned in that match. It's not going to be the champion. So that would have kept Lashley strong anyway. And you would have had, again, like you said, MVP and Paul Heyman. I would have actually had the Hurt Business win that match. Let them pin one of the Usos. Because then you would have had a reason for MVP to mouth off and say, and the other champion and his big fat manager thought they were going to do something, and they found out that nobody beats Bobby Lashley. Yeah, Bobby Lashley pinned Jay or Jimmy or something. They found out that nobody beats Bobby Lashley. They found out how tough Bobby Lashley is. And they went back to SmackDown with their tail between their legs. And then you could have Heyman, if he brought up Brock Lesnar, say, how about you put your money where your mouth is, and instead of having a three-man tag, you put Bobby Lashley up against the Beast Incarnate. I mean, that's big. You could have started a major feud there. Fans would have been eaten out of the palms of your hands to see this. You would have gotten two big paydays out of this. Two really big paydays. It's a shame. They're very short-sighted when it comes to things like that. Anyway, our lock of the pay-per-view. Well, it would be very easy to say The Fiend, so I'm not going to do that. My lock of the pay-per-view is I just don't see Riddle retaining the belt. I just don't. I don't think Riddle has done a good job. I don't think Riddle is over with the fans. I think Riddle is headed straight to Comedy City with his gimmick, and I think Sheamus is winning this. So I'm going to say Sheamus is my lock of the pay-per-view. I'll probably be wrong, Mike, but that's what I'm saying. What's yours?
You know what? I want to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to go with the rumors, and Becky returns and Oscar wins.
Wow, that'll be interesting. I could go for that. I mean, I'm sorry. That's where the money is. So now we've set up, if we were the promoters, we're setting up Becky and Oscar for SummerSlam. We're doing the Hurt Business, not having broken up against the Usos and Roman for pay-per-view before that, but that's just to set up Brock Lesnar versus Lashley at SummerSlam. That's two huge matches. Huge matches. You still got Roman Reigns to be set up against someone. You still got all the rest of the champions. You have a SummerSlam to be proud of if you could pull it off. But that's a brave prediction, because I don't know if they want Rhea Ripley to lose. We'll see. Both of our predictions are kind of iffy. Todd, what's yours?
I'm going with Apollo winning the Intercontinental title from Big E.
I think that's a little safer bet. If Apollo loses this match after losing five straight to Big E, I just don't know what happens to his character. You might as well forget it. His character's a jabron. Put it on the shelf. It's horrible. That would be horrible. I just don't see it happening. Anyway, this should be a decent night. I'm actually looking more forward to the matches on night two than I was on night one. Night one got ruined for me by the order of the matches kind of telling me what was going to happen before it happened. And I think a couple of the matches that were great were undermined a little bit by stupidity. I just don't think you should have made the Cesaro and Seth Rollins match about I will not be swung. That's humiliating. I don't know how that's humiliating. I haven't figured out yet how that move's humiliating. So we'll see. We'll see if they do a better job tonight. Just the very fact that the main event is unpredictable to me makes it a better event, much better event. This time yesterday I was saying, oh, well, we already know Drew McIntyre's not winning and Bianca Belair is. So that ruined it for me. Tonight I'm going in saying, I'm not sure. I'm not sure who wins the main event. I'm not sure who wins Sheamus and Riddle. I'm really not. So it should be very interesting. There's two matches in there that I really don't know. And I can't guarantee Asuka and Rhea Ripley anymore. I thought I could. I'm not 100% sure now with Becky Lynch saying she's ready to come back. I'm not 100% sure. But I still say the money isn't Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch. The money is Asuka, Becky Lynch. Now, if you're telling me Charlotte Flair is coming back, then the money could be Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. They've had that match before, and it would be a revenge thing. But then Rhea Ripley should have stayed face, kind of. And she obviously turned heel. And she turned heel right away and for a reason, because when she first came in to challenge Asuka, the guy that's in control of the noise hit the cheer buttons, remember? She's a face. We hit cheer. Yay, Rhea Ripley. Then a week later, we've changed our mind. Hit the boo button. She's a bad guy. And I'm like, why'd you do that? That was really quick. Maybe they found out Becky Lynch is coming back and said, well, you know, we got to make her a heel, I guess, if Becky's going to be the champion. Because if Becky fights Asuka, Becky will win. So we'll see. There's a few here tonight that's up in the air. The one I'm most looking forward to, Mike, is the main event. I think the main event's going to be sensational.
Right. That I'm looking forward to. But I'm absolutely looking forward to seeing what happens with the Asuka thing. If at some point during the night, like we say, if some point during the night Becky shows her face, then you know Asuka's winning. Right?
I have to agree, yeah. I would think that's true. That's a good point. They could blow that by – that's true. If Becky shows her face, it's much more likely that Asuka's going to win. By the way, I had Doug write me and say, did you hear Michael Cole blow the ending of the women's main event last night? Yeah, I don't know what happened. He said, 1, 2, she kicked out. 3. Oh, no, she won. I thought she kicked out. Yeah, that was weird. That was really weird. It kind of blew the moment because you're like, okay, the match is still. No, wait a minute. The match is, oh, yeah, she won. That's inexcusable when you're that big of an announcer. You have to call it right. You have to call the ending of the main event right. That's a major mistake on his part. Now, maybe he was told to make it look like, oh, she almost kicked out. But you've got to say, 1, 2, 3, she won. I'm sure she won, but are we 100% sure? That's different than no, she kicked out. He clearly said she kicked out. 1, 2, no. Oh, no, I guess she didn't kick out. Very anticlimactic, and yeah, that's a huge mistake. Doug, I don't know what is. I don't know where his mind was. Michael Cole was off all night, though. Michael Cole is acting like a guy who doesn't want to be there no more. Now, they're replacing a couple of people, Cole and one of them. But I don't know where they're rearranging everybody. I know for sure that Corey Graves is going over to Raw. Samoa Joe's out, and they're replacing Tom Phillips. I don't know what's going on in SmackDown. I don't know who they're replacing anybody with over there. I do know this. I love hearing Jerry the King Lawler. I know some people do not like him for whatever reason. I just love listening to Jerry Lawler. That cage match was made better because of Jerry Lawler. Because Jerry Lawler is like a Bobby the Brain Heenan, and Jerry Lawler is like, you just wait and see what Shane McMahon's going to do. Shane McMahon has this whole thing figured out, and What did I tell you? What did I tell you? And then the minute that Braun Strowman comes back, he's like, "This, oh, no, he's going to kill him. Oh, no, this isn't fair." It's fun to listen to Jerry Lawler eat crow, which he does. He does it so well as an announcer. It's like Bobby Heenan, where he's just like, you know, during his wonderful performance at that Royal Rumble where he was rooting for Ric Flair, and every person that came out is, "Oh, no, no, there goes Flair." And then finally the Undertaker's bell dings. He's like, "Well, that's it. There goes all the hopes and dreams right down the old toilet." It was so, it was a magnificent performance, and it made that Royal Rumble so much better than it could have been, simply because a really good announcer was behind the mic. Last night, Jerry Lawler made that cage match much, much better than it was. What's your thoughts on Lawler, Mike? I think he did a really good job last night of helping that cage match get over.
He deserves to be an announcer somewhere, a full-time announcer somewhere. I don't know why they don't do it. I don't know if they're gonna move what's his name over to Raw. The in my mind, the odds on favorite to replace him should be Jerry the King Lawler. But again, they may want to go with somebody different. I don't know. But
it's a shame. Absolutely right. Now, Derek is saying his lock is that Hulk Hogan's going to make a public apology. I would not count on it. However, I have an evil mind, and last night I could – and listen, I forgive Hulk Hogan. I really do. People get nuts and say stupid things. I forgive Hulk Hogan. But last night when Hogan and Titus came out, I said, "Please, Lord, do not let a lightning bolt come down and strike Hulk Hogan." Because that would have been about all that we – the delay, WrestleMania, and everybody's got to seek shelter, but it's okay now. Come on out, Titus. Come on out, Hulk. And bam! Oh, my God, Hulk Hogan was hit by lightning. I just don't know what would have happened. That would have just been the ultimate forget it. WrestleMania's canceled. We don't know what the hell's going to happen. Don't think it didn't cross my mind. So he's going to come back out tonight. We're going to see if him and Titus have a little more chemistry tonight because, man, Titus did not look happy to be there. I understand, man, I do, but it's a horrible thing that Hogan said, but, I mean, at the end of the day, Edge slept with Matt Hardy's girlfriend, and they still work together. That's a little worse, I think. Anyway, folks, enjoy the second part. We'll be back here at noon. Tell you what happened.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.